All right, 1 Corinthians 14:26. Paul writes, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Let all things be done unto edifying. Paul is writing to the church, and at the very end of this verse, he gives the rule for the church. This is the rule for the church of the living God. When the church comes together, this is the rule. It is something that we want to keep before us as members of the church. We never want to lose this as a church. The church is to edify. The church is to edify. That is how a church grows. That is how a church remains healthy, spiritually speaking, how it remains healthy. Everything we do together as a church body, Paul writes, let all things be done unto edifying. Very clear. Now, what does this word edify mean? Today in our feel-good world, everything is centered around how people feel. Everything is about feelings. In fact, the majority of people that are living today worship and bow down by their actions and responses to their feelings. Feelings in the world and even in churches have become a god. What I feel is the truth. That is a statement that individuals make. And let me tell you, that is a scary place to be. What I feel is the truth. I believe everything I feel. I don't know if you ever heard anybody say that before. But you know, you don't have to say it. It can be seen. I believe what I feel. And let me say, that is a very, very deceived person. For some reason, it is no longer what is objective. It's no longer what is true. It's now, how do I feel? How do I feel? Subjective feelings, more than ever, have become the rule. They have become the guide for most people, even professing Christians who carry and read a Bible every morning for their times and devotions. It's shocking to me how many people put their trust in their feelings. In Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. That is a powerful verse. Now, I say all these things about feelings because the word edify or edification has often been related to feelings. Edification is associated with a good feeling or making people feel good. The majority of the time when people use the word edify, they use it in a sense of encouragement or to be made to feel, make someone feel better by saying something to them. And they call that edification. But that is not how the Bible uses the word edify. Although good feelings can come from biblical edification, edification is not focused primarily on our feelings. In fact, it's the very opposite. Biblical edification addresses the mind. It addresses the mind, it addresses thinking, it addresses the intellect. And let me just say this, it is Those things are way more important than your feelings. How you think. How you reason. The rational intellect is way more important than your feelings. The word edify was originally used to describe the founding and construction of a house. That is why we call a structure an edifice. And we still use that in our language today. Metaphorically, it means to build up. To build up. It means to strengthen. It means to fortify. It means to grow. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, in the English Standard Version, it says, "Let all things be done for building up." That's the rule, Paul says. And then the New English Translation, the translators of that English translation said, "Let all these things be done for the strengthening of the church." Strengthening. That's how they interpreted the word edify. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, in God's Word translation, they wrote it this way. Everything must be done to help each other grow. Interesting. Edification is what causes the church to grow. It's what causes the church to be strengthened. The church is likened to an edifice. It's likened to a building, a structure. And Paul, over and over again, refers to this metaphor of the church as being a building, a temple, an edifice. And he wonders how the members are building. How are they building in the church? What kind of materials are they using to build the church? Now listen to how some of these English dictionaries define edify. This is Macmillan Dictionary. To teach someone something that increases their knowledge or improves their character. Edify. English Dictionary. American Heritage Dictionary. To instruct, especially so as to encourage intellectual, moral, or spiritual improvement. Instruct. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, edify. To teach someone in a way that improves the mind or character. To instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. Those are the English, several English dictionaries that I thought I would bring to your mind in defining this word edify. So in all these definitions, there is nothing whatsoever that is related to our emotions. I just feel edified. I just feel built up. You've heard people say that before. The Bible's focus is on our thinking. It is in the renewal, as Paul said in Romans 12, 2, the renewal of the mind. And that is how we're transformed, Paul says. We're transformed by the renewing of the mind. And the word transformed means changed. We are changed by the renewing of the mind. We have to remember we can always change the way we feel. How? By how we think. By how we think. Right thinking always leads to right feelings. But understand this morning, edification involves understanding. Edification always engages the mind. Barnes, in his notes, this is what he says about the word edify. Applied to the church, it means to do anything by teaching, counsel, advice, etc., which will tend to promote its great object, to aid Christians, to enable them to surmount difficulties, to remove their ignorance. Edify. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, turn there, if you're there already, I think you're already there. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul shows us how clearly how edification engages the mind. In this chapter, Paul is contrasting the unknown tongue and prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. For he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. That is the rule in the church. We do all that we do is for the edification of the church. Now, I hope you see the contrast he's making here. Why is Paul making this contrast? Why is Paul saying here that an unknown tongue without interpretation does not edify, but yet prophecy does edify? Why is this? Because an unknown tongue cannot be understood. And prophecy can be understood by the church. What Paul is saying here is that in order for something to build up, to strengthen, to edify the church, it must have content. It must have meaning. It must be communicated in an understanding way. It has to have meaning. If you're going to edify, if you're going to strengthen, if you're going to build up, it's not an emotional experience. It has nothing to do with emotions. It has to do with meaning. If something cannot be understood, if something cannot be comprehended by the intellect, such as an unknown tongue, it cannot edify. It cannot build up. It cannot strengthen the whole church. So Paul goes on in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 14 to tell the Corinthians, hey, seek the gifts that edify the whole church. Seek the gifts that build the church. That's why we're here. We're not here focusing on ourselves. We're here focusing on the building of the body of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, 12, this is the NIV, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. In the English Standard Version, he says, strive to excel in building up the church. In the New American Standard Bible, he says, seek to abound for the edification of the church. And then in the New English Translation, he says, seek to abound in order to strengthen the church. That is what is most important. That is most important, Corinthians. Not that you edify yourself in some unknown tongue that no one can understand, and there's no interpretation. It's just between you and God. It might make you feel good. But we're not here to make oneself feel good. That's not why we gather together. We're one body. We're in this together. Seek the edification of the church. That's what he tells the Corinthians. And that is love. And he goes on to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or in the previous chapter, he talked about love being manifested. So true edification, biblical godly edification, can only come to us through the impartation of wisdom, knowledge, and instruction in a spirit of love and meekness. It is speaking the truth in love to others. And you know, all of us here this morning can participate in the edification of the church. It is something that we should be seeking. It is something that we should excel in. We should strive for. We should abound in. Never think that you don't have anything to contribute to the building of this church. That is what the devil wants you to think. That is wrong thinking. In fact, this church cannot be built without you. It needs every member working together and participating. Each of us here are for the purpose of building up others, strengthening others, That is what builds and strengthens the church as a whole. It's through the use of words. Words. Our speech. That is how we edify and strengthen and build up others in the church. We do it by speaking words that strengthen a person in their faith. Words that confirm what they have been taught. Reminding other people that we have to practice what we preach. That's edification. That's building up. Paul encourages us to speak words that edify. And if you want to turn to Ephesians 4 in verse 29, he encourages us to speak words that edify and build up rather than words that are corrupt. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now the English Standard Version says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as for, but only such as good for building up. For building up. And the New Century Version says, words that will help others become strong. That's what we want. Words that are not harmful, but words that will make others become and help them become stronger. So the church is an edifying refuge. It's an edifying body. It's a place not for gossip. It's not a place for slander and backbiting and negativity and subjective paranoia. It's not a place to isolate yourself and to walk around with some kind of funny spirit. That is not the church. The church is to be a place where we gather to edify each other. And please don't miss that this morning. We are here to edify and strengthen each other. That's why we're here this morning. To participate together as one body being built up by words of edification. Very important. So the picture here is not making people feel better by words. The picture here is speaking words are communicating something that will make them stronger. Stronger in their walk with the Lord. Stronger in their commitment to Jesus Christ. Stronger in their resistance to the devil and the world. Stronger in their love for truth. Stronger in their relationships with each other in the body. That's edification. That's building up. That's building the body of Jesus Christ. Edifying has to do with imparting wisdom, knowledge, and truth, and words of faith to one another. That's edification. And Paul makes it very clear that edification in the church has to do with being established and strengthened in the faith. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, there has to be a point in time where you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord, and that is that I believe that is at baptism. That is an act of faith. But he goes on to say that's not the end of it. He says, so walk in him. I want you to walk in him. It's not over with yet. Walk in him. So walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. This is New King James. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The NIV says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him, that is Jesus Christ, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So in this passage, edification of the church has to do with being taught. It has to do with being taught. And that is the main objective of our church. That is the main reason we come to church. We come to be taught. Our main source of edification, according to Paul here, will come from learning doctrine. And when a member becomes unteachable, that is a very dangerous place to be, because in the long run, it's going to affect the unity and the building of the church. Again, the focus in these verses on edification is not a good feeling. But it's on understanding, it's on thinking. It has to do with communicating doctrine and having doctrine understood. That is how the church is built up in Christ. That is how it's strengthened in the faith. There is no other way. That is the whole reason, Paul says, that pastors and teachers have been put into the church. It's not so they can walk around and want you to call them pastor or a teacher. It's not just so they can show you their wonderful Bible knowledge. The whole purpose that pastors or teachers are gifted and put in the church is so that they can edify the body. They can strengthen the body. That's Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to turn there, Ephesians 4, verse 11. Paul writes, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." We are a body of Christ. And pastors and teachers are put in the church for the edifying of this body. Verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children." Basically saying, we mature, we grow up, and we no longer should be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So again, there's nothing here in these verses where edification is being mentioned. Twice it's mentioned. Nothing here about emotions. Nothing about making each other feel good. But we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have speaking truth in love. These are the things that edify. These are the things that build up. Edification, the building up of the body of Christ, has to do with speaking the truth in love. So we can grow up, so we no longer are children. And our children, Paul says, they're tossed to and fro. They're not stable. And stability comes when a child begins to grow up and mature. And they become stable. And they're not tossed to and fro. And how does that happen? Through knowledge, through doctrine, through teaching, through instruction, through what? Edification. Being built up. So it's sound doctrine that edifies. It is sound doctrinal teaching that edifies. Paul told Titus in Titus 2:1, he says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." That's what I want you to speak at Crete. When you're on that island and you have those guys that are resisting you, speak what becomes sound doctrine. Things that become sound doctrine. Without teaching, without instruction, there will be no edification. Without teaching, without instruction, there is no edification. There's no building up of the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." What is able to build you up? The word of His grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. So it's the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, the word of His grace that builds us up, it sanctifies us, and allows us to one day obtain the inheritance. Paul told the Corinthians that the whole purpose behind God giving him his authority as an apostle was to direct and lead the churches in edification. In 2 Corinthians 13:10, he says, "Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness." There were times where Paul had to use sharpness. According to the authority which the Lord has given me, what? What was the sharpness for? Edification. The authority which the Lord has given me for edification. 2 Corinthians 13:10. And not for destruction. My sharpness, if I come there and have to speak with sharpness, understand. Well, some translations have harsh. I have to be harsh in the use of my authority. He says, it is not for your destruction. No, no. It's for your edification. It's for your edification. It's for building you up. The NIV says, for building you up and not tearing you down. A lot of these feel-good churches, when a preacher exhorts his congregation and tries to bring holy conviction through his preaching, they see it as negative. They see it as a subtraction. But I like what Joey Faust, he preached a message one time called "The Negativity of Christ." And, you know, there are negative things that cause positive results. And it's sometimes we have to preach hard, and it sounds negative. But sometimes we need a subtracting before we can add. And that is really misunderstood today in many Christian circles. But Paul tells us that his authority, even if he comes with a stick or a rod into the church of Corinth, let it be known that it's not for tearing anybody down. It's for building you up. It's for your good. Now, turn to Romans 14:19. Romans 14:19. It seems in this chapter that there has been some kind of conflict. There is some dispute going on in the churches of Rome concerning petty things. Things that don't concern entering the coming kingdom. Things that are not of God. And things that are not of faith. That's the best way to put it. And Paul, in verse 19, he gives them the rule. He lays down the rule. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." There's the rule. The King James says, "Follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." New English translation says, "Let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another." And I like the NIV on this translation. "Make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Mutual edification. Make every effort. Notice these action verbs in these English translations. Pursue, follow after, make every effort. For what makes for peace and building up one another. Again, what we see here, building up takes effort. Building up others takes an effort. It takes a conscious effort on my part to say, when I come to church, I want to be a builder. I want to build up. It takes diligence. It takes work on our part. In the context, again, there was some strife centered on petty things about food and drink and about days of meeting. And Paul is saying, "Oh, church, understand, pursue." It's not, the church is not a place where we don't have peace. It should be a place of peace Pursue the things that make for peace. Don't contend over these petty things. The church is not a place of wars and contentions and strife. That is not faith. Paul said, we as a church should put away all the petty things and follow after what makes for peace and what builds up the other person. That should be our focus. That is what we should be pursuing as an individual church member. Edification in the church, Paul says here, requires effort. It requires diligence. We need to work at it. We need to work at making our church a place of peace. We need to work at making our church a place of edification. And how do we do that? Number one, we need to come to church with the right attitude. With the right attitude. Oh, attitude is everything in the church. And here's the attitude of someone who's a builder in the church. How can I help others grow? And it's even by example, right? We say a lot by our actions, but also by our words. How can I minister and encourage others? What can I do to build up? The attitude of putting away my own selfish feelings aside when I come to church, and we should be asking, how can I edify the church today? The whole reason that we have the discussion time after church is not that we can show everyone how we know so much about the Bible. That's not why we have a discussion time. It is for you to participate and edify the church. That's what it's for. It's for the edification of the body. Paul made it very clear. The rule is, let all things be done unto edifying. So when you participate in the discussion, you make comments and you add to the sermon, you are edifying the church. You are building up the body. You are edifying me. You're edifying the others. And this builds and strengthens. No one here has a grasp on all knowledge of every topic. You have something to share. I have something to share. And when we all participate, we get to hear the whole side of the story. Let all things be done unto edifying. And let me just say this. What should our comments and what should our questions be aimed at? Edification of the church. Edification of the church. Building up, not tearing down. Edification through joint participation. That was Paul's message to the church. And that's what mature members do. They seek to strengthen. They seek to build up others in the church. The attitude is Romans 15:2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. That's King James. The English Standard Version says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. To build him up. So Paul says, you know, when you come to church, saints, you know what? I want you to come to church with self-abandonment. Self-abandonment. I want you to come not thinking of yourself, but thinking of others. And you know, there are certain things that are lawful, but you know what? They don't edify. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And then he says in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 10, do not seek your own good. Boy, that's a message, huh? Do not seek your own good, but the good of the other person. How do we do that? We focus not on ourselves, but on the building of the body. So Paul is saying here, oh, there are many things that are permitted under the law of Christ, many liberties, but oh, don't let those liberties that you have be in such a way where you cause others not to be edified. Love of the brethren always rule over our liberties. Love of the brethren always rule over our liberties. In one's behavior in the church, we need to think of others and how we behave. We just don't behave because I feel like behaving a certain way. We conduct ourselves in such a way knowing that there are others present. And we want to be a builder, not a destroyer. We want to build up. We want to encourage. We want to strengthen. That's what the love for the brethren does. So we must always seek to edify others. And Paul calls it the good of the other person, not our own good. So we see, if we're going to be working hard at building the church, edifying the church, we need to come to the church with the right attitude. Edification cannot occur in the church when the atmosphere is of independence and unresolved conflicts, harboring bitterness and envy, pride and strife. All of this, quench true biblical godly edification. And the church cannot be built, and it will be hindered in its building. When people have their own agendas and they want to be recognized, they're tearing down the church. They're not building it up. And it's the attitude of love that edifies. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, Paul says, "Now concerning things offered to idols." I hope no one here is offering anything to idols. So I know some of you have some idols in your house. And if we move into houses here and they have the little Catholic idols in the house, but we know, Paul says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love," what? "Edifies." Love edifies. So what Paul is saying here, he's not against knowledge. But what he's saying here, we got to be on guard. Your knowledge about the Bible means nothing to God unless you have love that edifies. So true. Knowledge without the spirit of love is used by the devil to create confusion and discord in the church. I've seen it over and over again. It's very sad. Knowledge untempered by love makes a person proud, focused on self, and a very dangerous individual overall. This is all from the devil. The devil is someone who seeks to what? Kill and destroy. And he wants to destroy and tear down God's work in the church. It's wisdom. James says it's wisdom from below. In James chapter 3, verse 15, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, or entreatable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Boy, powerful verses. We're going to be teaching on that in upcoming messages in James. So love always builds up. Edification is wisdom from above. Even though sometimes tough love has to be used, there's rebukes, there's exhortations, there's warnings, there's challenge. All of these things can be done in love, which has a purpose to build, a purpose to strengthen. Paul is saying we must use knowledge in love. Knowledge in love. Any spiritual gift, he says, that God gives a person in a church, it is always to be used not to show off, not to say I'm better than you, not to be proud and puffed up. No, it is for the edification, the building of the body of Christ. So in closing this morning, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:19, "We do all things, beloved, for your edification." We do all things, beloved, for your edification. In the NIV, it says, "Everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening." Everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. This is the rule. In Acts chapter 9, 31, then the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were what? Edified. So there again, peace is associated with edification. That tells me where contention and strife is, there cannot be a building. There cannot be edifying. Very, very interesting. Churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort or encouragement of the Holy Spirit, they multiplied. So let me ask you a question this morning. What have you done lately to edify the church? And I'm sure all of us here, because all of us are very good edifiers. All of us here this morning are really, I mean that. But this is something we need to ask ourselves. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build up each other just as you are in fact doing. So he says, okay, Thessalonians, you are in fact building up each other. You're doing a wonderful job. Keep at it. Keep doing it. This is your Christian responsibility. This is your Christian duty. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's edification. That's mutual edification. So this morning, are you a builder or are you a destroyer? When you sense that someone is a destroyer, then turn around and speak to them edifying things. Speak to them edifying things. And in second closing this morning, Paul writes Timothy, this last verse I want to share, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, as I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So godly edification should be our focus in the church. That's what Paul's telling. We're not concerned about endless genealogies and all these weird fables that are going around, Paul. We're not concerned about it. Just continue the doctrine that I have put in place and continue to teach that. And godly edification, which is in faith, that is what we should be focused on. I want to read what Matthew Henry says about this passage, and then we'll close it up. He says this, godly edifying is the end ministers should aim at in all their discourses. Godly edifying is the end ministers should aim at in all their discourses, that Christians may be improving in godliness and growing up to a greater likeness to the blessed God. Again, ministers should avoid as much as may be what will occasion disputes and would do well to insist on the great and would do well to insist on the great and practical points of religion, about which there can be no disputes. For even disputes about great and necessary truths draw off the mind from the main design of Christianity and eat out the vitals of religion, which consist in practice and obedience as well as in faith, that we may not hold the truth in unrighteousness, but may keep the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That's Matthew Henry. So let's go together. Let's participate. Let's build the church and make it strong and make it an edifice that God looks down from heaven and He is pleased. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for this opportunity to share these words about the truth of edification and building up of the body. And we pray, God, that this church would continue to grow and be strengthened. Maybe not, we're not growing so much and multiplying in numbers, but let us grow and be strengthened in godly character, in our love for each other, and in our faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you would just continue to bless our day and our discussion afterward. In Jesus' name, amen.